There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Out of the gates, here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard, live downtown Las Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is your spot. Busy, busy three-hour program on tap. VSiN's NBA betting analyst, Jonathan Von Tobel, coming up in the second hour of today's show. How about this? Andrew, we have a World Series of Poker dealer today, which is going to be outstanding. I can't wait to ask him a zillion questions on this event, Pauly.
Not only that, he deals some of the big cash games on the Strip, too. Mm. I mean, yes, a poker dealer, World Series of Poker going on, and I was not aware of all the problems last year. You think Five Kings in the deck a couple years ago was a big deal. Oh, the fiasco.
And I can't wait to hear what it's like to deal with unruly players.
Uh-huh.
And the abuse that he gets at the table.
Sure.
So that'd be really, really good.
Men are still entering the women's events too.
It's allowed?
if you pay a certain price, yes.
Huh. All right.
Oh God.
Okay, so we do have, you know, usually the NBA does not do this. They put the game on a Thursday night. That way, like, all media can talk about it leading into it, and then they can recap it on Friday morning. They don't really put an NBA finals game on a Friday night. So we're in a unique spot tonight. It is game four. It is such a massive game. What is it now going back? The winner of game three, when it's tied at one apiece, is 82% all time to win the series here.
Yeah.
So you have that going for you. And, you know, the biggest question marks to me again, I think Steph's going to be okay the way it seems. And again with Robert Williams?
Yeah. If it was a regular season game, he wouldn't play. So he'll be probably on a minutes restriction. And what can he give you percentage wise? He was great in game three, but he's always, you know, like a lot of guys, day-to-day and one fluke play from leaving the game. And that comes down to health with Curry, too. I would say the same thing about Curry. You know, they wrote about it with Williams, but this is a Tuesday night in February in Sacramento. I don't think he's playing. And you got a guy who's 240 pounds and he lands on his ankle.
Yep.
He also said it was the same amount of pain when he got hurt against Boston in March, and he missed like 12 games as a result of what happened there. So it's we'll see when you get that adrenaline going, but if he's compromised in any way, and he has been so good in this series, averaging 31 a game and shooting almost 50% from three, if he has an average game, I mean, they're cooked because you just don't have the supporting cast like they used to have. They could really use a guy like Iguodala, but his time has come and go, and he's hurt and doesn't even play.
Well, they could use, I mean, Porter tonight.
Yeah, but he's questionable. Like he's banged up. Hey, right, sure.
You know, I'll give you another guy. Like, it would be nice for Golden State. It would be nice if Wiggins went out there tonight and gave him like 24 points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been solid in the series, but if he played exceptional tonight, that would be such a big boost. And I'll tell you again, they have juiced Curry's player points prop up to 29.5. Now, I hate betting the under on him, and I'll tell you why. It goes back to the play-in game 2 years ago when he was on just a mission scoring, you know, high 30s or 40s every single game. They put up a 36.5 in that playoff game against the Lakers. I'm like, 36.5? That's nuts. I got to bet the under. He never even took a shot for the first 5 minutes of the first quarter. He had 21 points at halftime. Mm-hmm. He hits a three late to go over and scores 37. I'm like, it's tough, but if he's compromised at all tonight, to get to 30 again, where you could see maybe the Celtics are blowing them out again in the fourth quarter, and they're like, Steve Kerr says, get him off the court right now.
Well, what are you going to get out of Clay again? Clay was phenomenal in game three. Poole's been a no-show, other than what happened in game two with some of the fluke threes that he hit. But if you can't play Looney, because you play Looney and Green at the same time, that's three guys, and you only have three guys on the floor that can shoot. Green's been a liability in two of the three games. And then if you can't play Looney, they're just going to bury you down low. And that was a big difference in game three. They were plus 26 Boston points in the paint, and they killed them on the glass.
Uh-huh.
So with the size and the physicality, and also if they're going to call it tight, everything's points to Boston here. And many people think they're the better team to begin with. And now you have some key injuries as well, and Green has given them nothing, absolutely nothing.
I tell you what.
And it's a great job by Boston not even bothering to guard them.
Yeah, no, just here you go. Go ahead and shoot. You can take it all day long. I would rather have Looney on the court than Draymond Green, the way that he's playing. And you're exactly right. It doesn't appear that Boston's more talented. I think they absolutely are. And, this week we can tie in a couple of different professional sports bettors. One, Aaron Rennie, who comes on this show and this network all the time, told us during the Eastern Conference Finals, his observation was, guys, it's not close. The talent in the Eastern Conference just dwarfs that of the Western Conference, and we agreed with them. And they're like, yeah, you're absolutely spot on. And then you saw this tweet from Harlebob Vulgaris,
yep,
who, you know, for a long, long time was the best NBA bettor in the world. He's now retired from betting, from what he says anyway. And he said, forget about the stats for a minute. The one thing that is absolutely clear in this series, one team is just 10 times more athletic than the other. That's tough to overcome, even when you have a walking one-man top five offense in the league with Steph. He's right. I mean, it's the talent level on Boston, it jumps off the page immediately. And then when the Warriors have to go to their non-Steph minutes and bring in guys off the bench, and when they're not, and it's not Kuminga or Moody, guys that actually look athletic, it's like, yeah, this is not even close with the athleticism.
Good tweet. You saw it in game three. They just would clear out and go to the basket every time they wanted for big stretches in that game.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, is the turnovers. I mean, again, they're 13-2 in the playoffs when they have fewer than 15 turnovers. There it is. They're also, they've won 15 in a row when Tatum has seven or more assists. So the only thing that can stop Boston now, other than a Superman performance by Curry, is Boston. And just, what they did at times in the Miami series in Milwaukee, blowing big leads and silly turnovers against the Heat, and somehow blowing game six at home as a 9-point favorite. The zigzag theory will be popular tonight. Do the opposite of what happened the previous game. And again, it's been a public versus professionals series, too, where the public's been on Golden State and the professionals have been on Boston. It feels like it should just about do it if Boston wins, though. I can't see Golden State coming back down 3-1.
Yeah, that'd be really tough. That scenario, I really can't envision. Points props tonight. Mentioned Curry, 29.5. You were betting Clay under last game. He's 20.5 now. They juiced it up a little bit because of his performance. You want to go under again?
Yeah, no, I do. No, I want to go Poole under. I will stay away from Clay because Poole got benched in the last game. So I'll go under 11.5 with Poole. Don't know what to do with Horford. The total threes are 28.5 now.
I think I'd probably go over that one more time.
Yeah. First quarter. What do you want to do with the first quarter? 54.5. Every first quarter has gone over. And the Warrior third quarter thing again.
Well, and by the way, right now at Bet Rivers, the third quarter line, they have a three-way number on it, Paulie. In the three-way market, Celtics minus 120, Warriors plus 118, a tie is 17-1. Just the money line third quarter, Warriors are plus 107 right now before the game tips. They have the Celtics pretty very high with the VIG, minus 136. You could also bet this in play tonight when the game is going on. That's the way that I would prefer to do it. But if you just think by default that the Warriors got to be bet tonight in the third quarter, you can grab that plus money right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I want to see what's going to happen in the first half. I want to see what the score is. If Golden State's leading 65-50 at halftime, I don't want to bet Golden State third quarter. But if they're down,
right?
If it's a two-point game or if it's an eight-point game, whatever, then I would prefer to look at the Warriors then.
Largest lead unders plus money.
It should be.
Yes, it should.
Did they keep it at 17 yes, and a half?
Yeah, they did. They did. Yep. There's a good house special at Bet Rivers, too. Clay and Steph, both to hit over 4.5 threes is plus 440. That's a nice house special that they always have up there. Tonight is also enormous for the finals MVP. I mean, if Brown plays well again and they win, to me, he's got to be the leader in the clubhouse.
Oh, he should be right now.
Yes, he should. I mean, I don't know if this is liability or whatever it is, but I don't get the Tatum stuff at all. Maybe Big Al can have a big game, too.
Yeah.
Maybe Al gives you 15 and plays solid defense. So
I would not write him off. He's a long shot at this point for sure. But if Brown goes out there and has 25 and he makes an impact immediately like he has a couple of times already, I don't know how this doesn't flip after tonight. If Tatum is who he's been so far in the first three games and Brown's really good, they got to change the favorite. Just have to.
Yes.
You can't keep going with this with Tatum as the favorite.
The other thing, that was a awesome atmosphere for the last game.
Mm-hmm.
Those fans were into it. They're loud. They're great sports fans. As Mark Spears tweeted, like them or hate them, it's one of the best, most passionate fan bases and best sports towns in America. He's right about that. I can't believe the Warriors are making a big deal out of the swearing.
They're making a huge mistake.
Come on. What are we doing here? Like kids aren't aware of the F word or what goes on? You just had Golden State fans repeatedly throw garbage at Charles Barkley when he was live on television. And then you got Green saying, well, stay classy with your cursing at me. And then he swears in front of his son in the postgame presser.
Well, and then, you know, people keep receipts. They went back to when LeBron was on the Cavaliers and they were playing in Oakland. And what, you know, that was a big deal because of how the fans were treating LeBron and what they were calling him.
Yeah, the B word.
And Klay Thompson goes, oh, you got to be a man. We hear every word on the court. And now six years later, fast forward.
Oh,
yeah, funny the way that works, right?
Kerr, everyone's doing it.
They're making such a big deal out of it. And I got news for you, Golden State. If you think it was bad in the last game because you're now being about it, oh, you have no idea what you're in store for tonight.
Right.
You're going to get killed by the fans.
Kyrie Irving was giving the fans the finger repeatedly.
Yes.
And telling them, you know, do something, which is unfortunate.
Oh, they're going to be relentless tonight.
You can't handle this. Yeah. Right? It's like Glenn Ross. You think this is abuse? What are you talking about?
I know. It sounds like they're coming up with...
Yeah.
I know. Remember after game one, it's the first to four. It's not the first to one. And now the fans, oh my God, I can't believe this. If they lose this game tonight, I think that's a wrap for the series. But, I mean, here's the thing about Kerr. Again, they've won a road game in 26 consecutive playoff series.
I know.
So, you have that going tonight as well. And if they don't win it tonight... Well, then, they got to come back and win games 5, 6, and 7 in a row to win the series.
Will it be close? Will it be within 7 with 5 minutes left? Will it be within 5 with 5 minutes left?
I mean, I wish I had confidence in saying yes. But I don't.
Hasn't happened. Nope.
The first hour of this program is presented exclusively by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at BetRivers.com. More NBA Finals coming up next. We can all tell by watching that Draymond Green is having a bad series. If ever the numbers back it up, it's with him. Wait until you hear how bad he's been. Next. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to callsheet.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at callsheet.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, we have you covered because BetRivers has launched a series of CityCast that focus from the local perspective in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, Los Angeles, New York, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and Washington, D.C. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so to put a bow on this Tony La Russa story and give you the actual audio, here's a situation from yesterday. White Sox are at home to the Dodgers. They eventually lost 11-9, but they're in the top of the sixth inning, and they just kind of blew like a 5-0 lead, right? So Dodgers have the lead at 7-5. Freddie Freeman just singled in Gavin Lux. He's on second base. The count is 1-2 to Trey Turner. And Tony La Russa, skipper for the White Sox, says, you know what? We're going to put him on. We're going to put Trey Turner on first base and intentionally walk him with a 1-2 count. And people are stunned. The look on Freddie Freeman's face when he's on second is like, what is going on right now?
Benetti and Stone were so good. I mean, Benetti is just incredulous, the play-by-play guy. Uh-huh. And Stone's been one of the best color guys for a long time.
You know, for decades.
Love, every day I would watch Harry Carey and Steve Stone. Stone would predict everything that was going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Harry, one more slider here, and that just will about do it for this at bat. There it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's shocking.
So Max Muncy comes to the plate. You guessed it. 3-run shot, and that goes 10-5 then at that point for the Dodgers. La Russa after the game, the decision was bad enough. The comments here make it 10 times worse. It's a back and forth with a reporter talking about this walk of Trey Turner with a 1-2 count.
So let me ask you a question. Is there some question about whether that was a good move or not?
I guess at 1-2 is the question. At the count.
Do you know what he hits against left-hand pitching with 1-0-1 or two strikes? Do you know what he hits?
He does it well against the right.
Well, do you know what Muncy hits with two strikes against a left-hand pitcher? Is that really a question?
Yeah.
Because it was 1-2? Turner with a strike left against a left-hander is not something you can avoid if you can. And we had an open base, and Muncy happened to be the guy behind him, and that's a better matchup. Here again, somebody disagrees. That's the beauty of this game. Welcome to it. But that wasn't a tough call.
Was
there a reason for waiting until 1-2, though? Not huh? Right, was there a reason to not do it right away and wait till 1-2?
Well, that's when the pitch got away.
What? Is it? I mean, honestly, some of the dumbest comments I've ever heard in my entire life. Is that really a question?
Oh, my God.
So, Joe Sheehan, who was just great on Major League Baseball.
Tony, people are speechless. They can't believe it. Yeah. People think it's a fireable offense, Tony.
Again, after those comments, to me, he's gone. He should have been fired. But Joe Sheehan, and this is funny, he goes, I feel silly even breaking this down, but Trey Turner, career versus lefties after a 1-2 count. 258, 310, 390 slash. The pitcher for the White Sox, career versus righties after a 1-2 count. 167, 286, 167. La Russa gave that up. For Muncy, career versus lefties, 251, 365, 492, and the pitcher's numbers as well, way worse. It's not a, yeah, so there you go. There are the numbers, Tony. There you go. That's what you're trying to justify your walk with at a 1-2 count.
I don't know what he's talking about, what number he's looking at. How dare you to the reporter?
How dare you? Is that even a question?
I can't believe it. Oh.
So I will say this, in terms of maybe put a betting spin on it. Our buddy Dave Koken, who's been doing this for decades, and you know, you talked about this, I think, as recently as yesterday. In all sports, when a manager or coach gets fired...
Look at the Phillies.
Phillies taking off, right?
Yeah.
He tweeted out, he will absolutely be on the White Sox the day that Tony La Russa gets fired. They are a prime candidate to take off as soon as this guy is gone. Prime. I will not be stunned if they rattle off 10 out of 12 when he's gone.
Unacceptable. 3 games under 500. Come on. We're almost into July here. What are you doing?
Yeah.
What's the problem?
So let me give you one more from a game that I'm watching yesterday, Paulie. I could not believe, I had to rewind it 3 times, no joke, to make sure I did not hear it incorrectly. I'm watching the end of the Rays-Cardinals game. Very good game there in the post game, talking about what happened. So it was Michaelis versus McClanahan. Both guys went 8 innings yesterday. The broadcast crew for the Rays points out that it was the first time in 13 months since May of last year that 2 starting pitchers each lasted 8-plus innings in the same game. No joke. I'm like, there's no way that was accurate. Rewind.
Yeah, yes.
And then I sent out a tweet. I wanted to make sure I got it right. I was transcribing. I had to rewind it again.
Yeah.
What?
I know, that's wild. That's wild.
We know the game has changed. Like, You can't even, it's not even the same game at all. But wow, that I was floored by that. Floored.
Sure.
So.
What do you think today?
Well, we have some good matchups. We've got some good pitchers on the mound.
They were supposed to be Peterson for the Mets.
Yep.
They're 6-0 when he starts, and every game's gone over. But now McGill's back, so he's supposed to start as the Mets continue this road trip. Great job by Ohtani. They finally broke the streak. Angels got a win. But we'll see how the Mets respond now after it didn't go well in San Diego when they're on a long road trip. And speaking of San Diego, Musgrove's going, and they're 9-1 when he starts. Oh, boy, but you got to lay a price here. Number one, they're going against the Rockies and Cool, who's been awful. But 265 in some spots for the Padres at home.
Musgrove on the year, 1.64 with the ERA, almost 9 Ks per 9. Very good outline numbers as well, underlying numbers. And, yeah, it's a huge number here. The run line on this team is -115 on top of that. But, again, you're going to get a Padres team at home, so you're not going to get the full 9 at-bats in theory. Could be a one-run win if you bet the run line. But the guy is, you know, one of the front runners to win this award now. And by the way, what happened yesterday with Corbin Burns again?
Mm-hmm.
Another off start. He threw a zillion pitches in, 4 1/3? He was not sharp. And so that's like back-to-back starts now for that guy. And that team is a ticking time bomb.
Yeah, now, you called that. He said, just can't trust them, and there's no way they should have been a $4 favorite to win the division.
Yeah.
William Hill put up some cool props yesterday.
Boy, this is great.
Aaron Judge against the field is up. Home runs. Judge is even money. You get everyone else, $1.30. You get the rest of the league. Will a Los Angeles Angel win the MVP? Yes, +225.
Mm.
No, -275.
Well, it's nights like last night where voters are in awe of Shohei Ohtani, rightfully so.
Through a gem, hit a home run.
Uh-huh.
Will Judge win the MVP and the Yankees win the World Series? Yes, 12-1. There's a yes-no on that, too. No 24.
That's a great prop.
That is.
So the double dip there. Judge MVP, Yankees to win the World Series. I don't have a share of either one of those. Interesting. I wonder what the actual two-team parlay pays at this point. Maybe around the same number. I have to go back and do the math. And I would say this. If I do not have Aaron Judge to win the home run title either. If I did, at what was he probably before the season, 18-1, something like that? I would look at minus 130 on the field.
Should I bet Judge? Because I have all the other guys that are behind
him. I see, I got a bunch of other guys that are close. I don't have Judge.
I have Alvarez. I have Riley. I have Schwarber. Alonzo.
You know what? Something to think about.
That's a good prop, though.
That's a really good prop.
Yep. I'm on the Braves. I know you were touting Contreras, but they're
I'm just pointing out that he's good.
8 in a row. All right. Phillies won 7 in a row. Brewers have lost 6 in a row. This A's outfit, Blackburn. Now, he was top in ROI. A couple losses now for Blackburn, and McKenzie's $1.60. This is something here. I mean, Ramirez hit another home run for this MVP talk.
Yeah.
And they came back. They were down. They won 8-4 and covered the run line. Again, the three back of the Twins. They're ahead of the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been a fun ride with the Guardians.
I will give you a matchup today that just, it screams, and I don't like betting run lines, but it screams like this team's going to win 10-2.
Blue Jays?
Yes.
Yep.
It's Berríos going against Rodriguez. In his last start, Elvin Rodriguez, again, it was against the Yankees, 4 1/3, and they left him out there. 11 hits, 10 earned runs, 4 home runs. You know, it'll probably correct a little bit from that. But and also, I did break down Berríos in his overall numbers this year compared to his career. It's his lowest Ks per nine since his rookie season in 2016. His walks per nine are higher than any other year, but last year. More home runs per nine than any year but his rookie year. Highest ERA, highest FIP, close to his highest xFIP. So, like, almost every single number on Jose Berríos here now is basically a career worst.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, are we going to get some positive regression?
Yeah.
I would anticipate a little bit anyway.
Can I do the same thing with the Yankees? Severino's been good. I think Miley's going to have a tough go of it. This Yankee offense.
I could see that.
It's just, they're going to explode at some point, right? Yeah. Can Miley and the Cubs contain him and hold him down? And what are they going to manage off Severino? I mean, what are they, 41-16 now, this outfit?
Yeah. I looked at that one as well.
Yep. They're $1.15 on the run line today, the Yankees, at home against the Cubbies.
Mm-hmm. Reds and Cardinals. Cardinals with a loser yesterday. They're getting Castillo today. Looking at the overall like history of the players in the Cardinals against Castillo, Goldschmidt, Edmund, Bader, Arenado, all good numbers off Castillo. He's been tricky to figure out. Kind of off in his last start, but he was great against the Red Sox 2 starts ago. So, all right, go ahead.
Yep, first hour of Follow the Money presented exclusively by Bet Rivers, your hometown book, 100% first deposit match bonus now, code 250MATCH. Got to be 21, offer not valid in all areas. Check out their house specials again today with the Splash Brothers. Hit both go over 4.5 threes, that's plus 440 for game 4 tonight. BetRivers.com for full offers, details, and rules. Up next, we'll get back to the NBA Finals, more props, and break everything down coming up. Points in the paint again. Will it continue to go Boston's way like it did in game 3? Straight ahead, VSiN, Follow the Money, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Jeff Siegel coming up in an hour. He's coming off a winning Preakness pick. You can get a $25 free bet to follow him Saturday at the Belmont. Just sign up for First Bet, the top horse racing app of VSiN. Go to VSiN.com/horses for details. VSiN.com/horses. Promo code is LVBelmont.
Jonathan Von Tobel joins the program now. VSiN NBA betting analyst and also host of The Edge weekdays at 4 Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific right here on VSiN. Good morning, pal. How are you today?
I'm good, guys. What's going on? Finals have been pretty solid so far, so excited to see what's going to happen later tonight.
So how would you describe this through 3 games? We kicked this around, I think it was after Game 3, when we said the Celtics were, you know, the better team at this point, up 2-1. And we said, are they clearly the better team? They were up big in that game. The Warriors made a big comeback. The Warriors also blew a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter of Game 1. How would you describe that at this point?
Yeah, I think you can kind of safely say, Mitch, that they're clearly the better defensive team, right? I think that's a really fair thing to say about what the Celtics have done up to this point. If you look at some of the offensive numbers, specifically for the Warriors in the half court, It's been incredible what the Celtics have been able to do, and why that's so important, at least, is, you know, the Warriors pride themselves not only on their half-court offense, but what they do in those half-court offenses, right? It's cuts to the basket. It's off-ball screens. It's those dribble handoff plays. It's everything that they do that makes all of these teams look really foolish. And the Celtics have kind of snuffed every single bit of that out up to this point. And I think it's been really impressive. And I wrote about this in the column about this finals before it started. If you looked at the numbers, the Celtics defended those plays really well. And sure enough, you look at it right now, half-court offensive rating in this series for the Golden State Warriors, 97.3. That's through these three games. It includes game number two. And so I think that's my takeaway. Like, I think that Boston has been the better team, but I think if you wanted to talk about their offense, which really came to life in game three, you have no argument that the Celtics have not been the better defensive team. And that has really shown. And it's been a big reason why they have this 2-1 lead. Not only the fourth quarter, in which they hold them scoreless for over 5 minutes, but, of course, game three, where Robert Williams comes on the floor after that third quarter barrage and just completely just suffocates Golden State, Steph Curry involved as well. So I think that's where I would go. I still think Boston has clearly been the better team, but if you really want to point to something, it's been really clear that they've been the better defensive team.
And they just have to take care of the ball, and they're going to win the title as well and don't beat themselves. Yep. It's too easy. Game one and game three, it was so easy for them to score, and Golden State has to work for their points. And then the Splash Brothers go off in game three, and they still get buried. So now I have Curry banged up as well, and you worry about his health. Your thoughts tonight, and also I thought you had an interesting tweet about where does this line go? Because the public still is in love with Golden State. The professionals have loved Boston since the start of the year, but you also have the zigzag theory that people might look at too. So do you think it closes 4.5?
Yeah, I still kind of think it does, Paul. You know, I mentioned this to Matt, where I felt like maybe the sharp money and the respected money was going to start to shape these numbers. I mean, because we haven't really seen it. And I wrote about this in an article the other day, which something you referred to. Like, there seems to be like this line being drawn in the sand, right? The public is on one side, respected money is on the other, and the public's on Golden State, and the sharp money is on the Boston Celtics. And we haven't really seen like the sharp money like really shape a lot of these numbers. I mean, look at game two. When I was talking to Jeff Sherman over at the Westgate Superbook, he said because of the situation, like, sharp money just didn't appear in Boston. He was just like, nah, he's like, they just sat back and they didn't want to bet Boston. He's like, we're either taking respected Boston money or no money in any way whatsoever. And I'm curious, like, as we look at them, because this is not, I think a lot of people are equating this to game two, but those are obviously not made equal, because what happened to game two? Well, the Warriors were back at home. And we have to keep in mind that the Warriors, they have not been a good road team since the regular season. In the postseason now, they are 3-5 straight up. 2-6 against the spread on the road in this postseason. If you bring that back to the regular season and include that, they are 20-26, I believe, against the spread away from home this year. So I don't think that we just chalk this up to a bounce back spot. I wonder if, and that was just kind of my guess when I tweeted that out, is when you look at this series and if you start to see that 3.5, because we saw that, right? A lot of shops opened 3.5 and immediately went to 4. And maybe that's the Steph Curry thing, but I thought that there was some respected money that came in on it. But I also think, to your point, Paul, one of my favorite moments, I don't know if you guys saw this from a Boston reporter, I hope it's real, that Ime Udoka in game three reportedly walked into a huddle and told them to stop playing like a-holes.
I saw that,
but it worked, right? And they turned things around, and it kind of brings up your point, Paul. If they're not turning the ball over, if they're not beating themselves and committing these dumb mistakes, if they're not getting lazy on their drops and playing them a little bit tighter, like, they're the better team. And I think I've seen that enough over the next or last three games that I'm comfortable to look at them again here in game four.
Well, he almost lost his mind during one timeout, too. He's like, why are we doing it? Get up, Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Get up there. Yep. Well, they had that rough stretch, and they made their run.
Yep.
And, you know, guys, like, that's reportedly been the difference between him and Brad Stevens. Like, Stevens reportedly was just too nice of a guy. Just really wouldn't get in guys' jerseys, like, wouldn't tell them when they're doing something wrong. And Udoka from day one has not been that guy. He has been telling them when they're dumb. He's been telling them when they're wrong. One of the big controversies early in the year was yelling at Jason Tatum for complaining at an official. And people were like, ooh, how's that going to go down? Yeah. And here they are, two wins away from the NBA Finals. It's worked beautifully for him.
So, JVT, what are you expecting from Steph tonight? Fully healthy, goes out there, goes for 35 points, hits 7 threes, or is it going to be a struggle for him?
Yeah, I kind of feel like he's not fully healthy, Mitch. One of the comments that he made was telling, he brought up the last regular season Boston game. And he said it's the same injury as that, just to a lesser degree. And if you remember, Marcus Smart dives on a ball, rolls him up.
Yeah.
He misses time after the end of the regular season. And so that kind of worries you, right? Because if it's a similar injury, whatever degree it is, and I always make the joke, like, you wish you had those like Mortal Kombat health bars above their head to see exactly what's going on with these dudes. But I would think that he's probably going to be I wouldn't say hampered, because this is the NBA Finals, and you're seeing Robert Williams with one knee look incredible in Game 3, and Marcus Smart is dealing with stuff. Jason Tatum's got his shoulder. So, like, I don't know if it's, like, dramatic in terms of the difference, but I got to say, I don't think there's much margin for error for Golden State, especially if Curry's not fully healthy, because he's their lone shot creator at this point. Mm-hmm. And if he's even a half step off, well, I mean, you guys mentioned it. You saw Game 3. He had a great game. He had a great third quarter. Klay had a great game, and they lost by 16 points.
Yeah, I don't think he would like lie and embellish, and I don't think he's that type of guy. Yeah, for him to say it's the same type of pain and similar, I mean that's really, this could decide the whole game tonight,
the series.
Absolutely.
So, did you grab 3.5 right away when it was posted after Game 3, or did you grab 4? And then, what would you recommend as of right now?
So I haven't done anything yet, because like BetMGM's at 3.5 shaded to like the favorite side at -115. I'm going to sit back, because I would be comfortable laying 4. I made this just over 5 personally. So I'm just going to sit back and see what the market does. I'm going to see if I'm right. And if it starts to get to 4.5, then I think that the 4s are widely available, I'll be able to lay it. But if I'm wrong and it gets back down to 3.5, kind of like we're talking, well, then I'll just sit back and see if I can lay a better number. So I will be on Boston tonight. It just depends on what the market does here with this number. But yes, I still think there's value in this number. And guys, like, you know, I was talking to Jeff Folkel. If you actually crunch the numbers and you're looking at this, and Humans and I were talking about it, there's this, you know, this trend, right? The previous 39 seasons in a 1-1 series in the NBA Finals, that the Game 3 winner has won 82% of the time, something like that.
Yep.
Well, if you're doing that and you're buying into that trend, this should be a money line price in the series of like -430, not -230. Mm. So there's an argument to be made that there might be some money line value on the Celtics to win the series. I'm not going to do anything there because I've got my previous investments, but yeah, I think there is value in that number, guys. I'm going to play Boston tonight. Just depends on what number.
Any player props at all?
You know, so I was throwing this around. So Kerr has kind of been messing with these lineups. If you look, like, there, I think Zach Lowe brought this up. I think there were 3 different lineups that we've seen in this series up to this point that played 3 minutes or fewer in the regular season. So he's kind of grasping at straws and trying to find out what works for this team. And one of the things we saw him do in Game 3 was kind of go away from Kevon Looney. And part of the reason why is you can't play him and Draymond together. It's not really good for your offense. And so I wonder if we're going to get more Kevon Looney, more slipping of screens, more, because even when he slips screens and he catches the ball in the paint, he can score, or he's actually a pretty good facilitator. He's got a few games in this postseason of 5 assists or around that number. So like playing Kevon Looney, he went over his point total the other night and he's sitting at like 6.5 or so. I was looking ahead to play him over. I would think that that's going to be part of the game plan here, is staggering him and Draymond and getting a little bit more Kevon Looney and more traditional pick and rolls out of him, because that really worked for him in Game 2. And I wonder if they're going to start to work that a little bit more here in Game 4.
I'll tell you what. I mean, if I had to have one of the two guys on the court tonight, if I had to pick, it would be Looney over Draymond Green the way he's playing.
Dude, yeah, I tend to agree. Draymond, and you're seeing, I said this like last night, you're seeing, like, I think this is the worst series for Draymond, because if you're seeing him, if he's at the top of the key and they run a wing pick and roll for Steph, the guy who's on Draymond is just sprinting away from him and helping off.
Yep.
And
yes,
when it comes to the defense, Tatum was challenging him almost every single play down the stretch. Like, they weren't afraid of him. It's just a really bad series for Draymond, because it's just the perfect team to handle Golden State. And all of a sudden his weaknesses just get really exposed.
Yep. Well, buddy, thanks for the time today. Enjoy the game. I hope that you're cashing that 66-1 ticket on the Celtics soon.
And me too. Me too, guys. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Enjoy the games and this weekend. So there you go. Jonathan Von Tobel, host of The Edge, weekdays at 4 o'clock Eastern right here on VSiN. Good point about Looney. I'm Ron Burgundy? ? You think? I think that Looney should be out there on the court more. Uh-huh. It does make sense. And I do agree. Good observation by Lowe. And that's kind of what I was thinking coming into today's show, is that Kerr's probably going to tinker a little bit tonight out of desperation.
That could, yes.
I could see that happening.
Uh-huh.
There's probably a little bit in the back of his head, like, if we don't win another title now with the core that we have, like, how much longer do we have with Steph and Klay?
Well, I don't know about that. They got back fast. I mean, this was, after coming back from the injury, to be here. I didn't expect a lot of people to have him in this spot here.
Up next, do you concur? He should tell the team, nope, I'm good.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome back. DraftKings Casino brings you a new era of your favorite games, including blackjack, roulette, slots, plus live dealer table games. And this week, DraftKings Casino paid out some big wins. A player bet $20 and won over $537,000 on Mercy of the Gods. Someone else won $113,000 on Divine Fortune. Download the DraftKings Casino app today. New customers claim a deposit bonus up to $2,000, and they start you off with up to $50 in free credits just for signing up. Download the DraftKings Casino app and use code VSiN to claim the offer. Casino.DraftKings.com for full details. We are going to call him Andrew, and he joins us now, World Series of Poker dealer and a dealer on the strip with the big cash games. Also a Celtic fan, so it works out. As he's kind enough to come on for a couple segments here and talk about this. Appreciate the time, Andrew. Can you give us a little bit about your background and how long you've been a dealer and dealt at the World Series and some of the cash games?
I've been a dealer for about 3.5 years. I started dealing out in Seabrook, New Hampshire, at a place called The Brook. Learned from a guy who's actually a fan of the show named Chris Robichard, taught me how to deal. Moved out to Vegas about a year after dealing in New Hampshire. Originally tried to do the World Series, ended up getting in at the normal casinos as a table games first, and then on the strip dealing cash, and then still did the World Series last year.
Okay.
And the strip this year.
Okay, very good. So we're about 10 days in to the World Series of Poker now. Anything you'd like to share about what's happened? Any issues, any mistakes, and how are things being run so far?
I've heard mixed reviews from the players about how they like it being on the strip. I was down by there yesterday checking out some of the cash games they had at Bally's, and it's a zoo over there. It's a lot different than when it was all isolated at the Rio. Now it's right there on the strip, and you can see the WSOP shirts from about 3 casinos over.
Okay. Have there been any mistakes?
Oh, yeah. There's been two so far this week, or this past 10 days. There was a mistake in the $500 housewarming event, where on break when the dealer was supposed to color up the chips, which means the smaller denominations to higher chips, this dealer brought all the chips into the middle, re-racked them all. And it took about, they say, an hour and 15 minutes for them to look through the videos and get all the players' chips back. Oh, right. See, all the chips straight into the rack, everything. Held up the whole tournament.
Oh, what a nightmare scenario there.
And this one's crazy that they had is at the start of one of the tournaments, the tournament director said to put the threes, fives, and nines in the well, which is referring to the stacks in the 3 seat, the 5 seat, and the 9 seat, because those aren't sold yet, so players would get those upon showing their ticket. The rest are eligible to be blinded out and are played as live stacks. This dealer took all the threes, fives, and nines out of the deck.
Oh, no.
So that's 12 cards. So they played a hold down, which is 30 minutes, without any three, fives, or nines in the deck, making it impossible to make a straight. And yet this happened. So this was a story that was shared this week. I'm not sure if it happened this week, but it was a story of a WSOP event that was shared this week, where they were playing with 40 cards for about 30 minutes, no possible straights able to happen. They didn't know until she got pushed up and she went to go hand the dealer coming in another packet of cards that were all the threes, fives, and nines from the deck.
How does this happen?
You
can't you tell by looking or holding a deck of cards if it's light? Because a couple years ago they played, how long was it, Mitch?
44 cards.
They played for an hour?
An hour, yeah.
With 44 cards in a deck.
Yeah.
Which I know I was dealing a horse tournament yesterday, which is a mix of Hold'em, Omaha, Raz, Stud, and 8 or Better. And all those games have different number of cards that are dealt. And I was thinking about it, that would be like dealing a hand of No Limit Hold'em and you have like 10 cards left. How would you not notice that that doesn't really add up? But in this case, the dealer knew because she took threes, fives, and nines out of the deck. She thought that was part of the tournament.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So some of it might be some ignorance from not being sharp to poker terms.
Well, so how bad was it last year? Because you see what's going on with the shortage and, you know, people don't want, I don't blame people that didn't want to work last year. I mean, a poker table is a petri dish when you look at it with the pandemic, but no one wanted to deal last year. So what kind of mistakes and what was it like last year?
You had people that were, especially for some of the different games that weren't No Limit Hold'em, like Seven Card Stud and Badoogie, they did have people that were learning the games the day that they were expected to deal it. Ooh. And mistakes happen all the time. And it's definitely hard, especially if you don't know anything about poker, you just accept the job and then you're thrown in a situation where everybody's staring you and stuff starts moving quick. But I know last year they had situations with dealers that were tried dealing the cards the opposite way. So instead of to the left of the dealer, they started dealing to the right of the dealer. The players obviously caught on to that one quick. I know there was a big one that was all over Twitter from last year where a player wanted to leave the tournament. He only had a few chips left, and he wanted to give his chips to another player at the table, which is completely illegal. And the dealer stopped it and said, no, he would have to divide up his chips and give them to everybody at the table, which is also completely wrong and illegal. Yeah, and the Floors found out about that, and they had to, just for that, you just get a lot of people that aren't really sure about the games and can kind of get deceived by the players and such.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're talking to Andrew, dealer over at the World Series of Poker. So based on that, I can only imagine the abuse inexperienced dealers would get. How does that trickle over then to competent and experienced dealers then? Like, how much abuse do you get on a daily or weekly basis or however long it takes to play the World Series of Poker? And then how about other dealers as well?
I think players can usually tell how sharp a dealer is pretty quickly with the comfort level and can tell if a dealer, because I've definitely been the dealer in the headlights before, especially when I was first dealing in New Hampshire, and know what that feels like with the stairs. And I'm sure they didn't have glowing reviews for me when I moved on to another table, but they can usually tell pretty quick by how the game's run and how frantic the dealer is running around. Usually if the dealer's touching the chips and cards a lot, that's not usually a good sign. There's not much to do. That's room for mistakes.
Well, how often do you run into dealer abuse though, or hear about it, or even people that work in the casinos about it's your fault I'm losing, or it's your fault I'm getting bad cards and I'm running bad, and some bizarre behavior you've seen over the years?
When I dealt table games at Boulder Station, and that was definitely the worst I ever heard of it, being on the other side of a blackjack table.
Okay.
You hear about every word that you can, and you get the full blame. Same with roulette or any other game like that. With poker, it's more like the player snaps very quickly because they're trying to hold their cool and keep their table image, and then they get one more bad beat and they start throwing cards at you, demanding a new setup, asking the floor if they could get a new dealer, and a lot of cursing.
Okay. Can dealers put it where they want on a roulette table?
So I've personally hit the same number 3 times in a row. And whenever something like that would happen, it would be on a busy Friday night. So when you start to think about it, if you're just in a rhythm and you're hitting the ball the same way, a dealer could definitely get it in the same section of a roulette wheel, like within the same five or six numbers, which is a very profitable strategy for roulette players, is playing a section of the physical wheel itself. And that if a dealer's in a rhythm and the wheel's spinning at a certain pretty consistent rate and they have their little snap down, and they're just doing it self-consciously, oh yeah, I can definitely land right there all over again. You could definitely get some dealers on the strip who could probably put it where they want to or pretty close to.
Okay, so you think if you consistently tried at this, you could probably put the ball within 4, 5, or 6 spots on the wheel, like very often?
Yeah, if it was all the same, if you were in the same rhythm, because
right,
the wheel going one direction, the ball going the other. I've obviously never attempted it, but if you get a rhythm and you have a pretty consistent spin down and you're just kind of in the flow of it, they do float around the same section a lot. I don't know about the same exact number, but definitely the same section.
Have you noticed in the last couple of years a ton of players all of a sudden taking their shoes off?
Yeah, and I've never been at a table that other players have been cool with it. Usually, as soon as somebody notices, the other players will kind of get on them. But maybe it's like the COVID making everything seem like the airport now.
Oh, no.
That's definitely a weird one.
Well, at least they're coming down on these guys and saying, put your damn shoes on. I don't want them to smell your damn feet.
Well, how about
your table? It's a...
Have you ever been at a table where somebody, like an adult, obviously, is wearing a diaper? They don't want to leave the table?
No. That would be a new one.
You've heard stories about that, Paulie.
Yeah. How about Eskimo Clark? He was the chip leader and had a heart attack. He refused medical attention because he was the chip leader. He had another heart attack.
There was a legendary story about Stu Unger, who built up enough of a chip lead in the World Series of Poker. And then he had an overdose in his hotel room going into the next day, but had built up enough of a chip lead that even not showing up the next day because he was in the hospital, he still got blinded out and came in the money.
Oh, my God.
It's one of those longer stories that gets pretty legendary.
All right, Andrew, hang tight. We're going to come back for one more segment. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Andrew is a dealer over at the World Series of Poker. I want to ask him, like, how many bad poker players actually get into this event, and how long does it take to spot a bad poker player? My guess is probably 2 seconds. We'll talk to Andrew about that coming up next.
Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. Here he comes, VSiN contributor Jeff Siegel, coming off a winning Preakness pick. You can get a $25 free bet to follow him tomorrow in the Belmont. He'll give out his Belmont play coming up. And appreciate the time as always, sir. What do you like today? Let's start with Belmont. Take it away and give us a couple of your selections.
Okay, we've got a couple today. We've got a race at Belmont Park called the Belmont Gold Cup. It's a two-mile turf race. We don't see too many of these out here in the States, and that's one of the reasons why I think the European Invaders are going to be tough. There are two in here. Number four, Outbox, who is the 2-1 morning line favorite. He's legit. But I like the longer price of the Euros. That's number one, Loft, in from Germany, where he just won a grade two, a group two race the last time out. That was his first start of the year. I watched the video of the race. He was very impressive. And if he runs back to that race, I think he can beat Outbox, and I certainly think he can beat all of the Americans. So at 4-1 on the morning line, he is a genuine, proven stayer, and I think he's got an edge on these. I like number one, Loft, to win, mild surprise perhaps, in the Belmont Gold Cup. That goes as the eighth today at Belmont Park. Got one at Santa Anita as well. This is a two-year-old race on grass. A bunch of first-time starters in here to consider. And the one that I like the most is number eight, Green-Eyed Lady. This is a filly by New Stallion Oscar Performance. Bred for grass on both sides of her pedigree. This is a turf sprint, so I understand why they're debuting her in this spot. She's trained really well. She only has four workouts showing, but the ones that I've seen in the morning are quite good, and I think she's got a very good chance to win at first asking. So that's number eight, Green-Eyed Lady at Santa Anita, goes as the third race on the program.
Okay, so now we get the $25 free bet, and great job on the Preakness. We can tail you tomorrow in the Belmont. Who's the pick going to be there?
Well, I wish I had picked Rich Strike in the Derby when he was 80-1. I'm going to pick him this time, and this time he's 7-2 on the winning line, so I kind of already missed the boat on Rich Strike. But he's not the favorite. In fact, he's not even the second choice. He's the third choice on the morning line. So there may be some value yet. Eight-horse field going 1.5 miles. He hasn't run since the Derby. He skipped the Preakness, but I thought his Derby win was legit. I don't think he was any kind of fluke. And he's trained really well since. And I also think he will really like the 1.5 mile distance. So I like Rich Strike to win. I think Mo Donegal, number six, he's the second choice. I think he's got a good chance as well. As well as the filly. There's a filly in this race named Nest, Curlin filly, who was second in the Kentucky Oaks. But she's another one of these runners that I think is going to love 1.5 miles. So those are the three in an exacta or trifecta box. But the main push goes to Rich Strike. Again, I'm a believer. I wish I were a believer 5 weeks ago, but I'll still take 7-2, 4-1 if I can get it. Number four, Rich Strike, to win the Belmont Stakes.
Jeff, is it the way that horse closed the Derby and just tracked everybody down and was still running? It could have just kept on running and running and running. Is that the reason why now with 1.5 mile track that you just can't get that out of your head and why you like him here?
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of reasons. The distance, I think, will like it. He's actually bred to be a late-developing type of horse. His sire, Keen Ice, didn't even win his first stakes race until the Travers back at Saratoga in the late summer. So he's bred to get better, and he is getting better. And I don't think he has to come from all that far back. I've watched him train since that last race, and I think he can lay fairly close. The Belmont Stakes is 1.5 miles. It's kind of a galloper's race where you don't have to come from way back. You probably shouldn't come from way back. And I think Rich Strike will kind of draft in somewhere in the middle. And then he has an extended run. And by the way, he won the Derby by 3/4 of a length. But he got stopped from the 3/8 pole to the quarter pole. So while he may have just gotten up, he could have won by more and probably should have won by more had he gotten through. So I think Rich Strike is a better horse than people are giving him credit for.
Okay. How about the Pletcher's had success here and won three times. Does that factor in when you look at this? And also the jockey of, if that bothers you, the jockey of Rich Strike, not familiar with the Belmont and the 1.5 mile.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me.
Okay.
I think a Rich Strike will get a good ride. That jock knows that horse like the back of his hand. As for Pletcher, yes. In fact, I'm using both of those Pletcher entrants in my trifecta. Number three, Nest, that's the filly I mentioned, trained by Todd Pletcher. And then Mo Donegal, the other Pletcher, is a colt that actually won the Wood Memorial two races back and beat subsequent Preakness winner Early Voting. And then in his last start in the Derby, he had the dreaded rail, got shuffled back, rallied wide too late, ran better than the line will show. So again, I really fear both the Pletcher horses, Nest and Mo Donegal. Okay. The one that I'm trying to beat here is the morning line favorite, We the People. He's coming out of a race called the Peter Pan, but that was an off-track I think that moved him up, and I'm not sure about a mile and a half, and I certainly don't think he's 2-1. I don't think there's value there. So the play against is against the favorite, We the People, and the play on is Rich Strike along with Nest and Mo Donegal, the two Pletcher horses.
Okay.
Do you recall this happening before? Have we seen 80-1 and then down to 7-2 like this before?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because usually when an 80-1 shot wins, it's mostly because it's a fluke, and maybe the others run down to his level rather than the other way around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This one won at 80-1, but he actually ran a terrific race, and he just improved. And his form is prior to the Derby was better than 80-1. He'd had some tough trips, and he had some pace situations that weren't favorable. So while I couldn't say in retrospect I would have picked him, he wasn't the worst horse in the race, and he ran great. And now I expect him to continue to get better, as his sire did, Frosted. So there's a lot to like about Rich Strike. And again, I've watched him train on video since that Belmont two works, and he looks terrific. So I don't think he's going to stop improving, and he may have a lot more improvement in him than even people think.
So Jeff, for the record, right now I have the Express Bet betting guide pulled up. It's beautiful. You guys did a great job with this. Your $100 wagering strategy on this race: $60 to win on Rich Strike, $5 exacta box on Rich Strike, Mo Donegal, and Nest, like you talked about, and also $5 on the exacta box with Rich Strike and We the People?
That is correct. I threw in We the People on one kind of favor $5 bet just in case he gets loose in the lead, which he probably will, and maybe keeps on going. And when I made those selections, it was supposed to rain on Saturday, and I thought maybe We the People would like the off track, because he certainly did in the Peter Pan. But now I just checked the weather right before airtime, and it doesn't look like it's going to rain. So I'll throw him in as a saver, but he's not a main play by any stretch of the imagination.
All right, go get him. Do it again. Thanks for a few minutes.
Okay, good luck to all. Thanks.
There you go. All right, so if you back him and Rich Strike wins, that's $100 for you. Go to First Bet, VSiN.com/horses on the offer for our fans, VSiN.com/horses, promo code LV Belmont. $25 free bet. Follow his play Saturday, which Rich Strike.
By the way, Eddie Olchek on the guide as well.
Eddie.
Breakdown, analysis, his betting strategy. So you can get it all there. Again, where Paulie just said VSiN.com/horses. Okay. Good weekend overall coming up.
Good fun. This is from Ryan. I was a writer at the Mandalay Bay. Slow Sunday night. I was working with another kid. I knew he bet out of his drawer, but his numbers were always right. He's looking at the harness racing book. He's handicapping the races. He's betting races. He's paying close attention. Card ends. He says he's got to go to the bathroom real quick. I call my supervisor to count my bank. He said, "Where's your buddy? Where'd he go?" He goes, "I went to the bathroom." It's been 2 hours now. Supervisor calls him. Nothing. Counts his bank. 13,000 light. He was betting the Sunday card. Couldn't do it. Losing every race.
Ouch.
Right out of the drawer.
Ouch,
disappeared.
Man.
What if they found him? Oh, my God.
And this is an email from Scott in Toronto, ftm@vsin.com, bare feet on a plane.
Yep.
Morning, guys. Love the show. I travel every 3 years to Hong Kong with my wife to visit her family. With the pandemic, have held off. 2023 is when we're going to be ready again. Facing major anxiety between the airports, animals on a 16-hour flight.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
Yep. There it is. Look at that. The person who took this said that they were just ready to take off. Just ready to take off, and you got to encounter this.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right, so what happens tonight then? Final prediction for the NBA Finals game?
Celtics win and cover. Celtics win and cover. I don't know about the total. I would back the first quarter over again, too. 54.5. All three first quarters have gone over. They come out hot, come out ready to go.
Yeah, I think we're going to get plenty of three-pointers again in this game tonight.
It's
attempts, which could go over 20.5 again.
Made threes are 28.5 combined. The other thing to monitor could be good for in play is the health of these guys, especially Curry. I mean, he said it feels like when he got hurt, the same feeling when he got hurt against Boston in March when Smart fought. Horford's a big guy, and he falls on him. So short turnaround, maybe doesn't have much.
You're betting under Robert Williams points?
Yes. He's hurt too.
Yeah, based on that, his injury, his health, and if he doesn't play the minutes tonight, I agree with what Jonathan Von Tobel said 2 hours ago. Play Looney to go over. He'll have more minutes.
Yeah.
Green's been a disaster. I don't know if Kerr's going to approach it like
that's
this.
That's hard, though. Then there's two guys who can't shoot. You're playing 3-on-5 on offense. Looney's more of a putback, penetrating kick.
I would personally look at Looney, if I'm the coach here, give me more minutes tonight than Draymond Green.
And he should have gone over in the last game.
He should have. Yeah.
He got hooked.
That might be a good angle there. All right. That's it for us today. Have a great weekend. Good luck with your bets. Talk to you on Monday morning. See ya.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.